Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I have a different program lined up for you today. So you've heard of these things called hedge funds and alternative investments, just different things that are part of the financial services investing world, some of this terminology. I want to share some things with you, and I've enlisted an expert. I brought in a big gun, to be honest with you. His name is, and it's a mouthful, bear with me, Scott, that's the easy part, Schweighauser, and he is partner, president, and portfolio manager at Aurora Investment Management. The website is aurorahorizons.com, and I'm very glad to have you on the program, Scott. Welcome.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's really a pleasure to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you, and so did I do well with the name?
It was perfect. Okay. In fact, you said it better than I say it.
That's a good one. Excellent. All right, Scott. Well, I do appreciate you taking time out of your schedule. Scott is, as I said, a partner and president portfolio manager, Aurora Investment Management, and they manage approximately $9 billion with a B in hedge fund assets over 26 years, providing portfolio solutions to institutional and individual investors. Scott has been with Aurora since 1994 and has been in different places with other experiences and started back with a BA in mathematics from Williams College in 1983 and an MBA in finance from the University of Chicago in 1989. So we are very glad to have the benefit of your expertise today, Scott. Let me dive right in if you don't mind. Let's do the debunk part. For the listeners, they probably have heard mixed messages about hedge funds. It's one of those categories that they've heard something about it. They're not sure if it's good or not. So they kind of put it in a question mark category, not unlike mutual funds or real estate investment trusts or annuities, these different things that they sometimes get a question mark because they're not sure what to think about them. Remember, they've heard different things. So let's start with, what's a hedge fund? How does it work? Why is it seemingly a mystery? And we'll go from there.
Well, Dave, that's a lot of ground to cover.
Okay, we'll have 4 hours. You think you can get it in?
Yes, I can do it in 4 hours. So hedge funds are really a broad categorization of investment vehicle. And so a lot of things, a lot of trading strategies get lumped into this title of hedge fund. And really what a hedge fund is at its core is a conservative investment vehicle that's designed to have as its objective in return an absolute return. So no matter what's going on in the market, a hedge fund manager is trying to achieve an absolute return. And the way that the hedge fund manager achieves this is to have a great deal of flexibility in implementing a specific investment approach. And the flexibility comes through the ability to invest both long in securities and to go short in securities. And when you can be both long and short, the net exposure that a hedge fund manager would have in his portfolio is going to be less than that of the market. And so if you assume that the long portfolio and the short portfolio are at their core kind of linked to the direction of the market, then you have the resulting portfolio is going to have much less volatility than the S&P 500 or the Dow or whatever your relevant index is. And the secret is, and why do hedge funds exist? Hedge funds exist because managers have a particular skill in identifying securities that they expect will outperform the market on the upside and underperform the market on the downside. And so you have, at its core again, undervalued securities that you're long, overvalued securities that you're short. And so the amount by which they're either undervalued or overvalued is called alpha. This is the holy grail of hedge funds. And when managers get their research right and the market agrees with them, then they generate returns, these alpha-laden returns that are going to be independent of market direction. And so, you know, when you find a very good manager, somebody who really knows what they're doing, they have what we call an identifiable and sustainable edge in their trading strategy, and they've honed their skills over many, many years, they can generate returns that people like us find attractive. And then we collect portfolios of these types of managers in a number of different trading strategies, in a number of different trading disciplines that produce a very robust return stream. And so for us, as allocators of capital to hedge funds, we're looking for the best of the best in each of the various trading disciplines that we've identified as really terrific opportunities for our and our clients' capital. And then we, through our due diligence and our research and deep understanding of every aspect of this corner of the investment universe, we can then manage these pools of capital to achieve, I think, superior risk-adjusted rates of return for our client.
Very good. And you said that without taking one breath. That was impressive.
It was a deep breath.
Well, it's deep water you're in, and I have to confess for my listeners, I actually understood everything Scott said. So if you didn't, I did. No, that was actually very helpful. So let me recap, because I'm proud of my comprehension here. Scott, bear with me. The hedge fund can, part of the way they can mitigate or reduce risk, they can bet for or against something. They can go anywhere, which gives them a lot of latitude. And by doing that, they can create the opportunity for growth that exists separate and apart from being 100% with the market or 50% with the market. They can create this independent alpha, this independent return that is generated above and apart from the returns of the overall market.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
And hedge funds have been around for quite a long time. The first real hedge fund was started by a gentleman named A.W. Jones back in the 1940s. And his thought was, he thought he was pretty good at stock picking. And he wanted a way to capture, in a much more meaningful way, his abilities to pick stocks. And so what he thought, very clever idea, why don't I have a portfolio so that instead of just being 100% long, I can have a portfolio maybe that represents 140% of my capital on the long side. So for every dollar of capital that he managed, he would put $1.40 into his positions that he had identified as being very attractive. But he didn't want to take outsized risk in his portfolio. So he would add short positions to bring down that net number, to bring down that 140% exposure to maybe 80 or 90%. So he would still benefit from the general direction of the market, which over time is up, and really capture his prowess on the long side. And then he would identify these shorts that he knew, either because they were involved in industries that he had expertise in, or they were competitors of the things that he was long. He would identify these short positions that he could add to the portfolio with the expectation that if in a terrible market environment, their ability to go down a lot more than the market would be there, and it would be there to protect his portfolio. So it was a terrific paradigm from which an entire industry has been built.
Cool.
And so now, in addition to long short equities, which is still the dominant portion of capital in the hedge fund industry, we have managers who focus on nothing but event-driven situations. So they're trying to look at the landscape of corporate events that are things that go on in the market every day, whether it's spin-offs or acquisitions or restructurings or share buybacks, these very identifiable, recognizable corporate events, and extract value from those positions with a great deal of flexibility. So that's an entire category of hedge fund. Then we have an entire category devoted to credit. So instead of looking at just the equity portion of a company's capital structure, these managers are looking at the credit portion, the debt portion of a company's capital structure, and identifying both opportunities on the long side and opportunities on the short side.
Okay.
And so that's an entire category. Then we have the famed macro managers. And I think people recognize the name George Soros. George Soros is one of the, all-time great macro managers in the world, and gained recognition or at least fame and notoriety for his big bet against the British pound back in 1992. And the macro managers have the ability to be long and short, not only in equities and equity indices, but also in currencies, in commodities, in bonds, really taking advantage of their top-down view of what's going on in the world. And so today, for example, we've seen the decline, very substantial decline in the price of oil. And macro managers clearly have the ability to identify the trends that are going on in the energy space right now and say, hey, look, you know, we've got a lot of production coming online. OPEC is very weak right now. The administration is trying to get the price of oil down because it gives them a political advantage in dealing with things going on in the Middle East. This is a big trend. And so as things start to unfold, macro managers can swoop in and help push down the price of oil and take advantage of that decline in price for the benefit of their investors. Another macro trend that we've seen managers really capitalize on in the last month or two has been the weakness of the Japanese yen. Abenomics is predicated on a number of different factors, all of which are designed to stimulate their economic growth, which has been anemic for years and years and years. Prime Minister Abe announced a plan, so-called Abenomics, where his intention is to stimulate through monetary policy economic growth and reform a lot of the regulations that help to stymie economic growth in Japan and also stimulate the fiscal side of things to generate growth. Well, one of the consequences of a looser monetary policy is probably a weaker yen, which they want to see to make their exports more competitive. And so managers recognize this, and we've seen the yen move pretty substantially. I think at its strongest point, it was relatively around 75 to 80 to the dollar, probably a year and a half ago. And now it's around the 116, 117 level as a result of this very deliberate attempt to stimulate economic growth. This is the type of thing that macro managers are very good at, and our underlying macro managers made a lot of money in that move from 80 to 116.
Well, if you're just joining us, you are missing out because Scott Schweighauser is opening up and illuminating the world of hedge funds and some of their strategies and the things they do. Scott is a partner president portfolio manager of Aurora Investment Management. And we're going to be talking after the break about the Aurora Horizon funds, just to give us some real world perspective, maybe give us an example of how one of these funds operate. The website for that is aurorahorizons.com. Quick break. We'll be having more with Scott.
Here's a newsflash. All financial advisors are not created equal. Some invest in their education by getting advanced degrees and professional certifications. Some don't. Some advisors get multiple licenses and offer a wide range of solutions. Some don't. Some advisors choose to be independent. Some don't. Some advisors disclose how they are paid and the fees they charge. Some don't. Please don't settle for a don't. Let me introduce you to independent advisor David Holland. David is a CPA, a certified financial planner, a personal financial specialist, and a chartered financial consultant. With 23 years financial experience, David offers a wide range of personalized solutions and discloses all fees in writing. Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com to schedule your one-on-one meeting.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Scott Schweighauser is on the line with me. Aurora Horizon Fund, aurorahorizons.com. I want to talk about that if we can first, Scott, because I think, you know, a lot of what you shared before the break is very helpful in people understanding how hedge funds work, and they have this flexibility and they have the opportunity to create the alpha, the real return in excess of or independent of the market. And the thing that I think may surprise people or has been a reason why people haven't gotten really as involved with hedge funds is it's perceived to be only for the mega wealthy. And one of the things that I think is interesting about what you're doing with your fund, your organization's fund, is that if I understand correctly, your mutual funds or your investment funds can actually are investing in a variety of these hedge fund managers. Is that correct?
Right. So you're correct in articulating people's perceptions of what hedge funds are and who they've been available to. So when we started back in 1988, 99.9% of our investors were high net worth individuals. Mm-hmm. And because of regulatory reasons, that kind of remained the case for many, many years. And when the kind of reversal took place in the tech space in 2000 to 2002, the collapse of the tech bubble, and the decline, the very substantial decline in both the S&P, but particularly in the NASDAQ, institutional investors started to recognize the very substantial benefits that hedge funds and a well-diversified portfolio of hedge funds can have for their portfolios as well, because of the non-correlated nature of the return stream that hedge funds generate. And so there was a very rapid adoption of hedge funds and hedge fund strategies on the part of pension funds and endowments and foundations and other very, what I would term very large, sophisticated institutional investors. Now, mind you, that pension funds in allocating to hedge funds are now benefiting their underlying beneficiaries, the union worker or the person who's been working at a company and participating in the defined benefit plan for years and years and years. Now, everyday investors are benefiting from hedge fund returns. In more recent years, a number of changes have taken place, both on the regulatory front and, frankly, on the hedge fund front and hedge fund technology front, that allow us to construct portfolios that meet the 40 Act requirements, that allow us to add hedge fund strategies and hedge fund talent to portfolios so that we can now present that to the investing public. And so we started the Aurora Horizons Fund in March of 2013. It is a multi-strategy fund in that it allocates to a number of different investing disciplines in which we have and our managers have expertise. And it's really designed to generate returns that we think will be independent of the direction of the market, capturing idiosyncratic elements of these opportunities that managers identify, and producing a return stream that in the long run investors will find very robust, very durable, and really investors would consider it a core portion of their portfolio.
So would it, Scott, be then can it be considered like a fund of funds where the underlying funds are hedge funds or hedge fund managers, or are you actually pooling that together where there's not the two pieces? Is it one piece or two pieces?
It's one fund, and each of the nine sub-advisors to the fund, so we have nine total hedge fund managers acting as sub-advisors.
Okay.
Each one of them has trading authority over a sleeve of that portfolio.
Okay.
So we've allocated to them a designated portion of capital that our investors have put into the Horizons Fund. We designate a portion of that trading capital to each one of the nine sub-advisors. And so we have five different components of the fund. We have long-short equities.
I'm with
you
now.
We have long-short credit, macro, the event-driven, and what we call short bias managers. And in their sum, it's designed to achieve this particular return and return profile, risk-return profile for an investor. But each one of the managers is trying to achieve their own risk and return profile and achieve their mandate that we've provided to them in their particular trading category.
Okay.
And so we've selected these managers for their expertise in their trading category, and then we're monitoring them on an ongoing basis. Part of, the primary responsibility that we have is the ongoing monitoring and due diligence of these managers to make sure that they're on track with why we hired them in the first place, and that they are successfully achieving those outcomes.
Very good. If you're just joining us, ladies and gentlemen, Scott Schweighauser is helping us again use this practical example of the Aurora Horizon Fund, aurorahorizons.com, to understand the world of hedge funds. And one of the things that we know is that they are not necessarily for just the wealthy, and they have now been brought down and now available on a more accessible basis. Quick break. We'll come back. More Scott. Stay right there.
Does getting financial advice seem like a game of cat and mouse? Then maybe it's time to hire a fiduciary. What's a fiduciary? That's a financial professional who puts the needs of his clients ahead of his own. Being a fiduciary also means that the advisor should recommend the products and services he believes will best serve his client's needs, not what an insurance or investment company tells him he has to sell. So next time you're talking to an advisor, ask him, "Are you a fiduciary?" The answer should only be yes or no. If the advisor doesn't know, then the answer is probably no. This public service announcement has been brought to you by Holland Financial. We want to help you to plan stronger. For more information, call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Scott Schweighauser on the line with me, partner, president, and portfolio manager over at Aurora Investment Management. AuroraHorizons.com is the website. I want to ask you, I saw on the website, I couldn't help myself. I had to go over and take a look at it, Scott. I'm very curious about it. You've got the different classes of the fund, the A, the C, and the Y. Do you want to talk about that a little bit? And the couple key questions are, really the big one for me is understanding how people can access these funds through brokers, through investment advisors. And answer first the one for investment advisors, because that's what I do. So I'm curious about adding it, whether it makes sense for us to add in our portfolios, what your minimums are, and things like that.
Right. So because Aurora is not a broker-dealer, I'm limited in what I can say.
Okay.
We are distributed through our parent company, Natixis,
okay.
And I would suggest that you and your listeners, can get in touch with your Natixis representative to talk about the fund and the specifics.
Okay.
The A, C, and Y share classes all relate to
how they're distributed.
How they're distributed,
right.
That's right. So
okay.
The A is the primary share class. The Y is for institutional investors, and the C, I believe, is the load share class.
Okay. A is the load, C is the C share for trail, and then Y is what investment advisors would work with.
That's correct.
Okay. Do you know off the top of your head, I didn't see it on the fact sheet, and I kept digging, what the minimum purchase requirements are?
Again, you would have to contact your Natixis representative.
Okay. Well, we can.
Sorry.
That's okay.
My compliance people are very strict.
That's all right. That's fine. We'll find it. Don't you worry, Scott. We'll find it. But the point is that this is all about making these types of investment strategies more accessible. So I think the point for the listeners is if they are interested in adding hedge fund kind of investing, it's available through a fund that they can access through their investment advisor, their broker dealer, whoever they are working with.
That's right.
And that really, I think, would surprise a lot of people. And they'll probably go back and listen to this program again and again because they will make sure they heard correctly that it is available. Because there's a lot of things that they don't understand. They think there's a lot of leverage involved with hedge funds, or there's, I think one of the other key words is that they're opaque, that you can't get inside. You don't understand what they are. And so I like the idea that you guys are making this more readily accessible.
Absolutely. And for the past 20 years, I've been at Aurora for 20 years, and I've really considered my primary job in engaging with investors is to provide as much illumination, as much education and understanding as I possibly can to overcome the perception of that these vehicles are somehow combustible, that they're somehow, involving, kind of the characters, the cowboys and the big risk takers. It's just not the case. Hedge funds are designed to be very conservative investment vehicles. We're at Aurora, we're always focused on finding people who are going to be great stewards of our capital, people who take as much care in managing our capital as they take care in managing their own. In fact, one of the necessary conditions that we have for a hedge fund manager is that the vast majority of their personal net worth is invested alongside of us in whatever vehicle we're invested in. And that is really a great alignment of interests. It makes sure that the manager is as focused on the downside as he is the upside. And let's face it, we're here for the returns. We want to generate great returns for our investors, but we want to do it in a very responsible, prudent, risk-focused way. And so I think it gives terrific asymmetry for an investor, and particularly for the Horizons Fund, someone who might be new to these types of strategies. It's a very diversified approach that relies on our due diligence to identify the best of the best, and then allow us the freedom and flexibility to adjust the exposures to these various strategies based on market conditions and what happens to be going on in the world. I view this type of portfolio as a great a great core allocation.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. When you say core, is it, when you say core allocation, are we thinking like maybe a 20 to 30% allocation, something like that?
Well,
Could be. I mean, are we talking that order of magnitude, 5%, 50%, somewhere in there, depending on the situation?
Yeah, depending. Again, every individual is different,
right.
And I wouldn't presume to kind of prescribe a one size fits all. But if you examine the risk return profile of a portfolio like this over mm-hmm. a long period of time, the Sharpe ratio for it, which is the return per unit of risk. So if you take the excess return being defined as return minus the risk-free rate, if you take that excess return and divide it by the standard deviation of that return, you get the Sharpe ratio. Mm-hmm. And really, it's a way to calibrate different types of portfolios on the same sort of standard measurement. So return per unit of risk. It would suggest that a fund like this ought to be pretty big in someone's portfolio, whether it's 20%
okay.
or 50% or even 80% should be to the judgment of the investor. But it does suggest that over a long period of time, this is a very prudent way to invest.
Okay. All right. William F. Sharpe, we appreciate his fine work and helping us understand how to compare investments on a risk-adjusted basis.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I like that.
Guy's a genius.
Well, we all think so. All right. So the other, I got just a minute here left, Scott. Any other final, I guess, you know, big myths that we want to debunk? I mean, we only got to part of what we want to cover. Any final big things that you say, this is the big thing that everybody doesn't understand about hedge funds or how you can access them?
I think that the big idea is that people should understand that hedge funds, again, are designed to generate great risk-adjusted returns through their flexibility in terms of what instruments they can get involved with. They're designed to generate absolute returns because of the manager's ability to vary both gross and net exposure, and across a number of different trading disciplines. And so the limitations that investors generally face in investing in mutual funds are, for the most part, not an issue when okay. you invest in hedge funds.
Well, that...
and so there's freedom, flexibility, there's nimbleness in capital allocation and the ability of capital to flow to where the opportunities are.
Scott, I'm out of time.
Okay.
We'll have to have you back and talk more. Scott Schweighauser.
Dave, thank you so much. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, you're welcome. Partner, President, Portfolio Manager, Aurora Investment Management, Aurora Horizon Fund, and AuroraHorizons.com is a website. Thank you, Scott, for being with us.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.